Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone joining us live on today's Freedom Series episode with Johan Nogueira. And I'm really excited to, did I get the name right?
You did.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Nailed it. So Johan has significantly increased the bottom lines of over 1,000 clients or more in 40 different industries worldwide. He does that with a focus on technology and utilizing systems that you've built over the last two decades. Johan has an uncanny ability to increase business profits, wealth, and success. He uncovers hidden advantages, overlooked opportunities, and undervalued possibilities. This skill has captured the attention and respect of CEOs, best-selling authors, entrepreneurs, and marketing experts around the world. Your clients range from top-tier banks to private business owners, but they all have one thing in common, and that they have profited significantly through having a conversation with you. So I'm so pumped to have you on the call today, mate. For anyone who might have never met you before, where did this all start for you?
Where did it start? It started at Melbourne University back in 2004 in the agricultural science department.
Wow.
So absolutely nothing to do with what we do right now.
Nothing at all.
I was sitting there, you know, it was 11 o'clock one night. I was doing my PhD. It was a joint venture between Melbourne University and the Department of Primary Industries. I was watching water go through soil and calculating the rate of movement. Like, see, I just watched your eyes just glaze over just then. That's yeah. How I was at 11 o'clock at night. And my supervisor came up to me and said, hey, you're doing a great job. In 10 years, you'll be at my level. I went, wow, that's pretty amazing. Because he travels the world. He speaks on stages. He writes books. He's what I wanted to be. And then I made the mistake of asking him the question, how much money do you make? And when he told me the answer, my world was shattered. And then I couldn't sleep, I think, for a week, right? And so I said, and I did what most people did back in 2004, which is you go to Google and you type in, make money online. And so that's kind of where it started. And then from there, I built an eBay business. The eBay business made more money than the supervisors did in about 6 months. It took about 4 hours a week to run. I hadn't read the 4-hour work week at this stage. And, you know, I had this amazing business that was running and it took 4 hours. And then I said, hey, why don't I build more of these? So yeah. I built 6 of these. Pretty soon after that, everybody thought I was a drug dealer. Because, well, I'm meant to be a PhD student on 20 grand a year. And here I am running around town, shouting people, you know, shouting the pubs.
Filming videos of you and your Lamborghini.
all of that. And so from there, I learned the point of that story is the leverage, how you can leverage systems to have systems and platforms working for you.
Yeah.
So that's where it all started. After that, we got into affiliate marketing. Do you know what affiliate marketing
yeah.
is? So for the people who don't know, basically the Pink concerts, the Michael Jackson, the O2 concert, you know, all those sorts of things, we were doing all the media buying. We were putting our money where our mouth was. And when a sale was made, we would get paid a commission on every ticket sold.
Yeah.
So lead generation, essentially. From there, we got into CPA marketing, which is cost per acquisition. So we were doing lead generation for the banks. If you went into Google and typed in Commonwealth Bank credit card application, you know, our ad would be at the top of the page. We'd pay $6 a click. Every time somebody clicked and filled out the form, we'd get paid $200. So we're turning $6 into $200. It's arbitrage in that sense. So from there, we built a digital agency, and it's been running for the last 10 years. And yeah, the next 10 years was even more, more exciting.
So outstanding.
I'm going to slow down and let you ask me some questions. So.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And if you've just joined us live today, welcome. I'd love to know where you're calling in from today. Just jump in the chat. Rafi from my team is across all the different platforms are streaming live today. So please feel free to ask any questions over the next half an hour, 40 minutes between myself and Johan. Any questions about him, me, our background, experience, business, and so forth. And I'd love to have a conversation about systems, because this is something that I avoided for a long period of time. I remember my first business, it was a kitchen and bathroom manufacturing business. And I knew I had this notion that systems would set me free. But being an ambitious, young and probably very dumb entrepreneur back then, I didn't think that I had the skill sets to create systems, number one. B, I definitely didn't think that I had the time to create systems, number two. And number three, I didn't want to be stuck being the one to put them in place anyway. Yet fast forward 18 years later and now have multiple businesses at multi-million dollars turnover that I don't need to operate in anymore, because there's a lot of things in place, but systems have certainly been one of those huge elements that has set me free through systemizing. Is something I speak a lot about in my new book, The Path to Freedom. So where did your love of systems kind of come about from?
For sure. So we stopped off at digital agency. Now that digital agency, blood, sweat, tears, we're talking 16, 18 hour days, you know, that sort of thing. And we built amazing technology. We built technology for the defense force, for the agricultural sector, for the airports. So we started building all these amazing systems, but it was all custom. Mm. I built the system to manage a building. So I moved into a building, and this is where my systems brain really kicked in. Moved into this building. When I moved in, they said, this is the best building in Melbourne. It's the most advanced, the most technologically advanced. I went, wow, this is amazing. Cool. Except I'd get a piece of paper come under my door saying, your windows are getting cleaned today. Interesting. In the nighttime, I'd get another one saying, the carpets will be getting vacuumed today. Interesting. Something must be broken. So this goes on, and a month goes by, and the papers keep coming every day. So I take these papers. I've got an inch thick of paper now. I take it to the building manager, and I go, hey, man, how much is this sheets of paper costing me? He said, it's $1 per sheet. So $1 per sheet, two sheets a day, 500 apartments. That's $1,000 a day that they were blowing just in telling me that, for, you know, one sentence, your windows are getting clean, your carpet's getting clean, the pool is in maintenance, whatever, right? So I said to this guy, I said, why don't we build an app for the building? And he said, I don't know about that, but you look like a guy who can build an app. Sure. So we go along and we build this app and we launch it in 6 months. And we show it to the owners corporation. They love it. And they go, we'll have the technology. And so I'm walking out of the building now, and he comes chasing me. He goes, that was amazing. He goes, can we be business partners? I said, yeah, sure, easy. So we become business partners and we launch it across all these buildings in Melbourne. 2 years later, he tells me, hey, and by now my brain is like, I'm never going into a custom development business again. I'm going to commoditize and productize this entire system. So we productize it. We could pump out apps really quickly now. Mm. He goes, hey, I'm retiring. I went, oh my God, you're retiring? Like, we're two years in and this is an amazing business. He goes, yeah, buy me out. So I buy him out. And then I meet these guys who go, hey, Johan, we love your technology. We've been trying to copy it for the last 2 years. We can't. Can we partner with you or can we buy you out? I said, well, interestingly enough, let's partner up. So I catch up with these guys and they tell me they want to build a $100 million company. Now, at this stage, we're talking 2012, seems like, you know, decades ago, even though it was only 8 years ago. Mm. $100 million was, my brain could not fathom what $100 million was. Mm. So I go, okay, tell me, how are we going to do this? And then they lay out the plan for me. I go, cool, let's do it. In 4 years, we took that company to 20 million. And it keeps just going up. That's where I learned my love for systems, because we systemized everything. Like I don't have to do anything in that company anymore. It just keeps growing. Mm. And that's the love of systems.
Mm. Mm. What do you think? Awesome story and awesome share. And that is the power of systems as well. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs avoid systems because they don't want to create them themselves or be stuck doing it, which I certainly don't teach and promote people to create them themselves. And secondly, because we like to focus on things that make us feel good. And often systems thinking is more the detailed part of the brain, whereas the atypical entrepreneur is more creative. Yep. What I'd be curious to know is, what do you kind of feel are some fundamentals that need to be thought about or required or put in place for someone that's going through and starting to look to systemize their business? And before you answer it, welcome to those of you that are joining us live on the platforms. Please hit the love or the like button. Let us know you're watching and chuck your questions in the comment section below and my team will feed them back through so that we can get them answered for you as well. So yeah, fundamentals for putting in place good systems.
Understanding your customer journey, the customer experience. You know, when it comes, once you outline that, that is the first piece. Because when you outline the best customer experience that your client, I say customer experience, but it's actually client experience. The best client experience that can be had, then you set that up so it's systemized. and you have some sort of project management tool that you, your team, your clients can even log into and understand where it's at. And by designing that ideal client journey, you know at which points in their life cycle or in the sales cycle, you can trigger them because you know what they're experiencing. I'll give you a quick little example of a system that we just built. So in one of the IVF, one of the biggest IVF providers in Australia, in vitro fertilization, they have, when the woman gets fertilized, when she has that first operation or procedure, 2 weeks, they have to wait 2 weeks until they find out whether it has taken. Now, these people have made a significant investment in this procedure. Those 2 weeks, every minute, they are freaking out. They're like, please let it, please. This is the moment, you know, I hope it's going to happen. So what happens is in those 2 weeks, there's a lot of stress caused in the body. And then there's a 70% failure rate, right? So, which is not very cool. Nobody tells you these things, but the data does. So what we did was we put in a system saying, hey, Jane, we know that you had the procedure today. Congratulations. It's going to be the most exciting 2 weeks. And I know you're apprehensive about the results, but guess what? We want you to have the best experience and make sure that we get you the results ASAP. But over the next 2 weeks, we are going to give you some case studies. We're going to show you some other people who are going through exactly what you're going through. Now, every morning and every evening, they get an email or a text message with a case study with another woman on a video saying, hey, you're day three, congratulations, I know it's well. And what it does is it removes all the guesswork. And now the success rate has gone to 70%. So before the success rate was 30%, now it's 70% because they are calm, they're relaxed, they understand what's about to happen. Therefore, they're not freaking out. Therefore, the procedure is taking. So something as simple as that, and, you know, it's a basic system. But once it's outlined and once it's put in there, the people can now have peace of mind because they know what's coming.
Yeah.
Same with any type of project that you have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's beautifully put. You know, we meet a lot of people that are, you know, maybe at $500,000 a year, less, a little bit more, whatever, and that their focus is systems. Yet the biggest challenge with that is I think that the main system, like if you're under the $1 million a year, 80% of your time should be spent on sales and marketing. Now that's not to say that you don't focus on systems, but often your product and service delivery changes so rapidly from that naught to $1 million that to go and systemize it, the systems are obsolete before you even get to a point of looking to move into a scale phase of your business thereafter. So that being said, I agree with what you say. Like the first kind of core system you're focusing on is around client acquisition, client journey, all the way from lead capture through to lead nurture, through to sales conversation, through to onboarding, through to retention. You get that part of the system right, it's kind of irrelevant what product or service you're selling, because the journey is there to take them through. And that, I guess, is systemizing your money flow, right? That you can then start to focus on, okay, how do we now better deliver? How do we now better collect money, build culture, build team, all that sort of stuff. But it stems from understanding and having, I guess, a very clear, compelling and profitable client journey in place.
I totally agree. And the first part of that, the first thing that we ask people to focus on is the ideal client. And those people who you're talking about who are less than $1 million, most of the time is because they've got people in their database or people that they're serving who are not their ideal clients.
Absolutely.
The old 80-20 rule, you know, 20% of your clients are giving you 80% of your income, yet you're sitting there, you're putting up with, and really exclamation marks, putting up with people who are using up 80% of your time, yet only delivering 20% of your income.
Yeah.
Cull those people. Figure out who those ideal clients are, because when you work with the people who are your ideal clients, who value you, who value your time, who appreciate everything you do, you wake up, you're charged, your team is pumped, they can't wait to deliver. That makes a huge difference to the rest of your every other process that happens in your business.
Yeah. Absolutely. We had someone on live stream. I'm trying to think who it was. It's been that many the last week. We had a conversation very similar to this too. And I see a lot of people go into business and they kind of start to try to serve everyone with everything just to get things up and running. yet, you know, although in the beginning, I think it's important to test the market with different offers and different niches. Once you have something that starts to work, I think you should absolutely double down on that niche, on that target audience to really understand who they are and how to better serve them as well. And you're exactly right. The number of people we meet that we go through and do an audit of their P&L, and we see that, you know, 20% of their clients produce 80% of the revenue, but equally too, 20% of their clients produce 80% of the headaches. Yes. You know, like I'm sure there's so many people that are watching this today can relate. It's those clients that you discount and you try to help out and you try to give them more outside the normality of what you usually serve clients that create all the issues and the hassles long-term, you know, and stop your business from growing because you're too busy kind of trying to do things out of spec rather than just being clear of who you serve, how you serve them and delivering the best possible results to them as well. We got a question here from Emma from Sydney. She said, what's your favorite investment strategy?
Investment strategy. Okay. Yeah. Well, it used to be property, but yeah. Now it's more moving into the tech space because tech is growing. Tech is, well, now let's look at COVID. You know, COVID's hit. We have been, our business is, have been so busy. We've actually had to create two more businesses to keep up with the demand. And it's my investment strategy right now is in the tech space. We're looking for unicorns. If you have any, guys, send them over. Let's partner up. Let's joint venture with them. We love tech businesses.
Yeah. Any particular tech? Like, man, I would have liked to have had shares in Zoom December last year.
Exactly. Oh, man. Well, any particular tech? No, we're playing with a lot of tech right now. And, yeah. You know, I'll give you an example. When COVID hit, we built a contact tracing app in 10 days. And we were ready to launch this thing. We were one day away from launching. And then the government contacted us and said, cease and desist, no launching it. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, and this is 29th of March. So the government didn't even have their contact tracing app on their radar right now. Anyway, so all this stuff happened. And I'm not going to go into the particulars of what happened. But anyway, we ended up collaborating with them. But they ended up taking the Singapore code and doing what they did with the Singapore code. And Singapore put out a press release saying the COVID safe app, they're disowning them, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Bygones be bygones. So we're left with this amazing technology. I'm like, oh my God, we've invested like $500,000 into this technology. What are we going to do? Because we built it. We built it without any want for commercialization. We did this as a good to give back to Australia. 30 companies collaborated in order to produce this thing. And it was made by Australians, for the Australian economy. So that's what we did. So Australia released COVID safe, whatever. So now we're launching this into a couple other countries. One of the countries has 160 million people who are now going to benefit from our technology. You know, and now that same technology, another country, their top telco provider is buying our technology. What they're doing is they're then gifting that technology to the government. And then on the app, they're going to have a little button there saying, if you would like whatever service they are, you can click here and you can compare and make sure that you are good. So this company is leveraging that, giving it as a gift. And I think they're 300 million people that they're going to acquire. It's a client acquisition play, this one. Yeah. You know, they're buying the technology, releasing it, giving it as a gift. They're the unsung heroes. Plus, they get 300 million people on their database. It's absolutely ridiculous.
They're not
ridiculous.
Silly. They're going to make a significant return on investment. They're not silly.
Massive, massive. And so that's why technology is amazing, because you can take it, you can reskin it, you can repurpose it, you can do so many different things with it. And the entire world is now, we know the power of technology. We know the power of Zoom. That's how we're doing what we're doing. So yeah, tech is my favorite.
Yeah, I love that. Outstanding. If you're watching us live or on replay, please feel free to put all your questions below, hit the like or love button, let us know you're there. And also start a watch party, let your friends and other business acquaintances know about the conversation we're having here, all things tech and business growth. What's been the best performing business strategy you've put in place so far in your business career?
Best performing business strategy? Oh, geez. Yeah. There's some, well, actually, I got one for you.
Or maybe a couple if you got a few there, yeah.
Yeah. I got plenty. I could talk to you for days, Barry. One of my best business client acquisition strategies is direct mail. Now,
so good, isn't it?
I know. Every time I say that, people are like, oh my God, that was around in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's no, right. It works so good. Yeah.
it works so good because everybody's on Facebook and everybody's on Google, and they're trying to, you know, now they're trying to jump on TikTok, and it's shiny object syndrome. Whereas the good, I want you to picture this for whoever is listening. I want you to picture receiving a yellow envelope, confidential stamped across it, with your name handwritten on it, and you can feel like there's something inside the envelope. Would you open it up?
Absolutely. And
definitely. It's your FOMO, you know, your curiosity gets piqued. You open it up. Now you open it up and there's a little dinosaur in there. And there's a post-it note pointing to the dinosaur saying, hey, guess what? Your automation systems, your marketing systems, your insurance, whatever you're selling is gone the way of the dinosaurs. So why don't you read the rest of this letter? It's important for you. Now, that first piece is simply just so that people can go, ah, ha, ha, you know, it piques their curiosity and they're like, oh, this is interesting. A week later, they get another one, but now it's got two little dice on there. And again, the yellow envelope, confidential, handwritten, gets past the gatekeeper saying, are you gambling with your business's future? You know, and then it's got a letter there explaining, hey, you shouldn't gamble with your business's future, blah, 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 blah. A week later after that, another one with a magnifying glass saying, yeah, use this magnifying glass to read the fine print. They read the fine print and it says, we will show you how to increase your profits by 20%, yeah, or something of that sort. Now, if they don't take action, the next week they get a postcard. The postcard has got a guy with big binoculars saying, we're worried about you. Please tell us you haven't been, you know, kidnapped or whatever. Let us know that you're alive. Now, this campaign gets us about a 20 to 25% conversion rate.
Hmm.
The phones are ringing, the people are, it's getting booked. And so that one of the best strategies, there you go. That's one, yeah, of them.
That's Chet Holmes. For those that haven't read Chet Holmes' book, The Ultimate Sales Machine, created the lumpy mail strategy. I'm not sure how long ago now. It's been a strategy that Russell Brunson actually talks a lot about in his latest book, Traffic Secrets. And it does work a charm, a little bit to put together, but the done well, the return on investments are huge. And, I love how you've made that your own as well. Fantastic. We've got a couple of questions coming in. Sorry.
Well, I didn't make it. I got it from Dan Kennedy. Now, Russell, yeah, Brunson got it from Dan Kennedy. Chet Holmes got it from Dan Kennedy. So he's the one who actually, let's give credit where credit's due. He's the one who created that. And he's always saying, you know, I steal my best stuff from other people. So he probably got it from somebody else, but he's the one who publicized it.
Yeah, fantastic. It works very, very well. We're just waiting for a couple more questions coming in. We've got some here. What's another strategy you've seen do really well? And if you guys are loving this, just comment below, let us know, and I'll try to extract as much as I can in the next kind of half an hour or so.
Yeah, for sure. So the product launch strategy. Have you heard of Jeff Walker?
Yeah.
So Jeff Walker's product launch strategy, turning a sales page, a big long sales page, into a 4-video sequence. Now, for those of you who don't know, who aren't in the, let's call it internet marketing game, that's what we used to be called 10 years ago. I'll walk you through a scenario. Let's picture that there is this geek, and this geek has never had a date or doesn't know how to pick up a girl. And he watches your little 2-minute to 3-minute video talking to him about, hey, this is how you approach a girl. You know, don't approach her from the back, you know, all this stuff. And when you approach her, look in the eyes.
Not in a dark alleyway.
basic common stuff. But guess what? That video is going to get him a result. He's going to be able to approach a girl. 2 days later, he gets another video, goes, hey, guess what? Congratulations. You know how to approach a woman. Now I'm going to show you how to get her number, right? And he'll show them how, in the 2 or 3 minutes, how to get her number. Now she's got a number. Guess what? Video number 3 is all about how to make conversation, how to ask her on a date. By this time, this little geek has now got, he's walking up to women confidently, chest puffed out. He's picking up, he's getting their numbers. And, you know, now he's having conversations, something he hasn't been able to do in a long, long time.
Yeah.
The 4th video comes out and says, hey, guess what? If you want to either take her on a date or marry her or whatever it is, you need to buy the course, which is going to teach you steps D to Z, right? So that is another strategy, which again, most businesses need to adopt. Nobody is going to ever marry you on the first conversation. You need to build your know, like, trust. You need to show them, take them on a journey. We're talking about, you know, which are some of the greatest strategies. Now, before, let's say even a year or 2 years ago, you needed to build big, complicated landing pages and funnels and all of this stuff in order to take people through that journey. And, you know, Russell Brunson, ClickFunnels, etc. Now, Facebook has made it obsolete. You don't even need to do that anymore. basically you put out that video, the first video that I talked about, and anybody who's watched 75% of it, guess what? They get to watch the next video. If they don't watch the 75%, they don't get to watch it. So you're taking them through a funnel subconsciously. It's, you know, sort of like propaganda. It's mass hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And so now they're watching this. They're getting to know you. They're getting to like you. They're getting to trust you. And they're taking action. And it's all happening in Facebook. And this is cents on the dollar. How many people are doing this successfully? Not many, because they don't know how to. Yeah.
Is it John Loomis?
I don't know.
John Loomis Marketing. I remember reading, I think it was John Loomis, had like a 14-part series like that, all through retargeting, to take people through from video one through to video 12 or video 14 or something it was. And the stats were ridiculous in conversion of people moving through the funnel, because you can get like cents on the dollar, you know, targeted videos in front of prospects, and they're instigating. It's like it's like the email sequences, right? Except they haven't got the opt-out button. They watch a video or they stop. And this is why I love trolls on Facebook that comment on your ads. It's like, you know, stop showing your ads to me. It's like the more they comment and engage, the more that I had to get showed to them as well. I got a question here from Brisbane. Started watching just now. Everyone says it's possible to get a bootstrapped venture to succeed. For you, what does it take to build a business that runs with minimum maintenance, and do you have remote workers?
Yeah, so we have more than 100 at this stage. Actually, I think it's up to 120 now. And so, yeah, we definitely have remote workers. What does it take to start up a bootstrap? Nearly every business that we've started has been bootstrapped, because we don't believe in getting capital. We don't believe in venture finance. We don't believe in angel investors. If you have a product that's good enough, the best strategy to make it work is to go and sell it. Go and sell it to as many people as you can. And in that selling process, you will optimize it and you will create a much better product. There's so many different ways. I'll give you an example. So in one of our companies, we build techs. We build apps for businesses. This guy comes up to me, he goes, okay, cool, Johan. I really love this. I want this, but I don't want to put the money in. I don't want to put my hand in my pocket. I don't want to put the money up front. Now for him, this app that he wanted to build was $50,000. So I said, that's cool. Because there is so much money in this world, literally. And anybody who doesn't believe that there's so much money in this world, please go read Unlimited Wealth by Paul Zane Pilsner, 1996, I think it is. It will change your mind and you will see that there is literally so much, it's unlimited wealth. So anyway, so I tell this guy, I go, cool, 50 grand, that's easy. I go, what have you got coming up? What's in your pipeline? You know, what events, et cetera? He goes, I've got this event coming up. I've got 1,000 people at this event. I said, well, that'll do it. Let's get you your 50,000. Done. He goes, all right, I'm going to fly you to Sydney. We're going to do this. And, you know, can you do a 15-minute presentation? I said, done. So I'm at his stage and I go, hey guys, we've got something really exciting. It's going to be coming here in 6 months. You've got to wait 6 months, but it's going to be worth the wait. Let me show you what we're about to build. And I show them, I take them through what we're about to build for his community. And I said, anybody who invests today is grandfathered in. You pay one price forever. And you never get billed again. Everybody else who doesn't jump on today, you're going to be billed $100 a month. That night, he goes in, he checks his Stripe account. Have a guess how much money he had in his account.
$49,900.
Nope. He had $800,000 in his account.
Shit.
And so he goes, holy shit, I should fly you around everywhere. I said, well, you know. So he hands over the 50,000. We build this app for him. Now this app's generating close to 500,000 a month for him, right? But the point of the story was he was resourceful. He had resourcefulness, not resources.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a tight ass, let's say that. And he didn't want to put his hand in his pocket, which is great. So we had to explore other avenues of how to get that money. And so we did. And look what came from it.
That's a really interesting mindset shift that you speak about there. And a conversation I had on one of the very early guests, I think it was like episode one or two of the Freedom Series, is that coming into COVID, there's a lot of people that were asking themselves the questions like, how do we survive this? Now, when we ask ourselves a question like that, we automatically start to filter in experiences that can provide that outcome for us. Yet, you know, that question, how do I survive this versus how do I grow this? provides a very, very different experience. And so this is where, you know, episode yesterday with Josh Ryan, you know, growing up, his parents weren't like, no, we can't afford that. It's like, yes, you can get that. How are you going to find the money?
Yep.
Right. And this is exactly what we're talking about. Like, we are far, far more intelligent than we ever give ourselves credit for. And, you know, Tony Robbins talks about it all the time. It's like, you know, the power of our question. And ask yourself the question, it's like, oh, I can't afford 50,000 versus how can I find 50,000, right? How can I start, how can I bootstrap this venture? How can I see this venture succeed? How can I inspire others to join me on this? Like, there's so many different questions we can ask ourselves that creates different answers than a lot of the questions many people ask themselves every day. Why does this keep happening to me? Like, you're asking yourself to justify and validate why those things keep happening versus what am I to learn from this? Or how do I grow from this experience? Like both questions are going to provide an answer, but one's going to be more resourceful than the other, more supportive, more opportunistic than the other.
Completely agree. And yeah. Actually, when I was, I think, about 20 years old, one of my mentors, we were walking past a Lamborghini dealership. And I said, oh my God, that is an expensive car.
I knew you had a Lamborghini.
He said, it's not expensive. He goes, you just can't afford it just yet. So figure out how to afford it. And just that one sentence, it had so much wisdom in it, because it's not about what we have. It's what value can we add into the world? So to me, money is a construct. Money is an exchange of value. If you're, whoever's listening, if your bank balance, if you are currently living to serve yourself and to serve your immediate family, that's reflected in your bank balance. If you're living to serve 10 people, 50 people, 100 people, it's reflected in your bank balance. We're all carrying around phones. We're all using Facebook. It's reflected in those. We're all using Google. It's reflected in those companies' bank balances. The more people you can add value to, the bigger your bank balance. So figure out how you can add the most value to every person, every interaction that you have. And I'll give you another quick example about that. A couple of weeks ago, I get a call from this guy, and he used to be my concierge in my building that I told you about. And he hooks us up with one of the biggest contracts that we've got. And I'm like, dude, thank you. Like, wow. How the hell did you get us connected to those guys? You know, really appreciate it. I go, why did you do that? He goes, Johan, you were the only person who ever stopped and asked me how my day was going and actually cared and remembered my kids' names and remembered what we were doing, remembered where we were going on holiday, and you actually cared. He goes, I never forgot you for all those 5 years. He goes, I always remembered you. And now I feel like I can give back to you. And that's why I did that. So, you know, my father taught me, it doesn't matter if somebody's a CEO or the janitor, people are people, treat them as such.
Absolutely. Yeah. That as well, I think, is a big shift when, and we had an amazing guest on this morning, Juris, who has just put out a new book called The Values Equation. And he grew a company from 30 employees to 1,000 in less than 3 years and exited November, December last year. And it was all about values, which it comes back to. It was all about relationships. It's all about, you know, communication, which is, you know, not like, oh, give to get, but give to give and trust and know that the universe is conspiring to help you, that there's an abundance, that, as you said, money is a construct, it's energy. And it shows up in equal exchange of the value that you're providing to the world and those around you. A couple of questions here. Tom from Perth. Johan said he works with remote workers. How do you establish accountability with them?
Well, we use project management tools. We interview them. We know who they are. We know their values. So it comes comes down to values. We hire on values. We hire on a work ethic. And a lot of the people who we hire are referred in by their peers. So now there's an accountability factor, because if this guy has referred you into the company and you are not doing what you're meant to be doing, it reflects bad on him as well as you. So therefore they hold each other accountable. And plus, we pay them more than most people do. We pay them extra. That little bit extra doesn't actually impact us, but it makes a massive difference to them. Huge. Their loyalty is, you know, we have people who will work until 2 or 3 in the morning to finish a project. Whereas we've had people in the past, or we've had companies in the past, where they're like, ah, no, 5 o'clock, I'm done. Whereas if you treat, again, the success of any company comes down to the people, the culture. You know, I didn't expect to go this deep today, but really it's the people and the culture of any company that makes it. Have you read the book from Zappos? What was it? Delivering Happiness.
Yeah.
You know, when Tony Hsieh, he was in a hotel room and he heard this lady who was drunk off her head, and she was like, I want a pizza, I want a pizza.
Yeah.
And then her friend goes, well, call Zappos, they deliver happiness. And that Zappos guy actually had an account and got her pizza delivered. That's the day he knew he'd be a billionaire.
Yeah.
And again, people and culture.
Yeah. He actually wrote the book, he wrote the Ford of Jurius's book, The Values Equation, as well. So if you're watching this live now, and you didn't catch the interview this morning with Jurius, absolutely catch it. We go super, super deep on values and culture in a way not many people speak about. And I honestly believe that that's the number one key to building a super successful business, creating a lot of fulfillment, and creating a business that can work without you. Because I see so many business owners trying to kind of like hold staff accountable. And I think that's the wrong question. Great question, Tom. And I think it's the wrong question to be asking. If you're having to hold staff accountable, it's a culture issue. It's not so much like, oh, you need to go and get Asana to like manage people's projects. Like, yes, that's an aspect of it, but it's kind of later down the track. Before that even happens, it's about developing vision, mission, and values, which we go into super deeply. It's the first three chapters of the book. You know, establish your vision, your mission, and values, because without that, you haven't got a solid foundation to build your skyscraper. Like, things are going to fall apart. Yet it's not something that often business owners focus on, because it's not seen to produce an immediate ROI. It's like, oh, no, like, let me go and build a funnel. Let me go and develop this sales script. That's great. But it's a very short-term play, and it's not going to build your business that's profitable, that's purpose-driven, and that can work without you, without establishing first a really solid culture based around vision, mission, and values as well. So Anne's also joined us. Well, welcome. She says, resellers direct mail issue box 1010. I'm assuming that she loved your lumpy mail example. She said, would love to develop this strategy to recruit resellers. And like, I don't see it's any different. We've used this strategy to recruit clients. We've used this strategy to recruit suppliers. We use strategy to recruit joint venture partnerships as well. Like, the strategy is only limited by your ability to kind of, I guess, conceptualize it and think outside of the box as well.
For sure. It's,
yeah.
We've found it works everywhere. There's not one industry that we've found it doesn't work in.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you feel is the biggest challenge that small and medium business owners face?
Calling themselves business owners. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but you got into business for time, freedom, you know, profits, to do things on your own time, whenever you wanted. Except most of them end up working way too hard, getting paid way too little, too many headaches, not having enough holidays. And it comes down to that I am the greatest person in my business. The business is me.
Well, the thing you say, the identity frame around that, it's very hard to shift once you identify as that.
Correct. And so, you know, we're dealing with so many baby boomers now, and they can't sell their businesses. So we are going in there and we are systemizing their businesses. They used to think that they were the business. Now they're realizing that they don't have to be the business. If we didn't come along, or if the business is not systemized, they cannot sell that business. All these businesses are getting shut down. They're simply shutting shop because they don't have systems, because they think that they are the business. So what is the main problem? It's the main problem with growth. You know, people, they want to, there's egos, there's all this stuff. People want to be the smartest person in their company. I thrive on being the dumbest person in my company. I want to hire the best people. Like, we've just built a new company in October, like 2019, we launched a new company. And my GM goes, hey, Johan, your claim to fame is 0 to 20 million in 4 years. He goes, I'm going to smash that. I said, all right, cool, challenge accepted. From October to March, the company turns over 7 million, right? I'm like, holy shit. I go, and the best thing was, I didn't have to do much. He goes, yeah. I just want you to be able to give the overall strategy. We will execute it. We have the best people in the team. It's all going to get done. You just tell us which way, steer the ship. And that's the, at the end of the day, business owner, that's all you're meant to be doing, is to steer the ship, point in the direction. There's people out there who are way smarter than you. When we first started our digital agency, I was the Facebook ads guy. I was the Google guy. Nobody could do it better than me.
Yeah.
Now we've got these 21-year-olds who are geniuses. Because that's all they've studied. They've grown up with it. They understand it. They've immersed themselves in it all day, every day. So let them do what they're great at. Let them focus on that. So,
yeah. There's a couple of things that I want to just point out. Very, very nicely put too, by the way. A couple of things I want to point out. First of all, for those of you watching right now that may be challenged or struggling in business, and I know that businesses have been like smashed around the last 6 months, The one thing I really want to, I guess, share with you is to not compare yourself to where you may see myself or Johan, you know, being in business. You know, we've been in business, I don't know about you, but I've been in business for 18 years. And I've done my dues, and I'm still paying my dues, you know, every day. Like, there's new challenges, different challenges. Although I'm not in that business, there's other business I'm involved in, and I still, even not being in it, I still see challenges or still see things that I want to make better. So first thing is, like, regardless of where you're at, don't compare yourself to us or to anybody else, the first and foremost. Number two is realize that your journey you're going through to get your business from wherever it is right now to where you can step out for a few months and the thing still grows, things still profits. Once you've been through that once, the second and third and fourth time is so much quicker, right? For two reasons. Number one is because you have the skill set and the understanding of what to do, right? Number one. But number two, more importantly, I think you have the psychology. I think the hardest part to growing and exiting a business is not actually putting system process in place. That's a huge part. But it's the psychological shifts that we spoke about here you need to go through to detach yourself from being the Facebook guy or the Google Ads guy or the sales guy, whatever that is for you. And certainly for me, that was the hardest part, is to get to a position. But once I did it once, it's like I've done it several times there since. And so I guess it's a bit of encouragement that wherever you are right now is perfect. Challenge is a part of the journey. If we wanted things to be easy, we'd probably not be an entrepreneur or business owner. We'd be back working for someone else for maybe more money and working less hours than what you are right now. But you just can't replace the level of fulfillment you can get to through persisting and breaking through the challenges and what's thrown up. And that's where, I guess, you've got amazing mentors and coaches and resources out there to tap into to help you to not go through the same things as what many others that maybe aren't that smart and want to do it on their own have to go through.
For sure.
Yeah. So a couple of things before we wrap up. First of all, if the crew wants to kind of connect with you, find out more, maybe check out what you're doing, what's the easiest way or best way they can come and find you?
Yeah, for sure. So we built that company. I just want to finish up on my story of the company. We built that company. Now that company runs without us. It's the one that builds all the apps. Yeah. And then while we're enjoying this beautiful, you know, trajectory of success, two of my friends, they unfortunately took their lives. And that really messed with me, because all it takes is a conversation to save somebody, right? And then after that, I started looking at people and talking to my friends who I hadn't connected with in a while, because I was literally working 16-hour days to do what we were doing. And I realized that most business owners, in fact, 70% of them, they go through anxiety, depression. They feel like they're doing this journey alone. They don't know who else is going through what they're going through. But not only that, they don't know what strategies are there. There's so many different strategies, you know, and TikTok, this, that, all these different platforms. How do you go and apply the best things? So we built a little community. Now, this community we built 2 years ago, and it's called the Business Authorities Community. And if you can go to Facebook, you can look up Business Authorities Community. That's where it's all the people who come together. It's a beautiful community of people who know each other, and they all help each other. They help each other grow. There's so many joint ventures I spoke about at the start of this call. We did a joint venture to launch a contact tracing app. 30 companies collaborated to build that in 10 days. Like, the power of joint, and now it's gone out to 160 million people. You know, it's massive. So guys, if you want to connect with me, Business Authorities Community, just look it up on Facebook. Come there, join us. I'd love to have you in there. Barry, thank you for allowing me to share tribes. Absolutely. And really appreciate it. And if we can help anybody, we're always there.
Business has shifted a lot. Like, I remember when I first got into business 18 years ago, it was very much like a dog eat dog. Like if you've been in business for a long time, you know what I mean. It was very much dog eat dog. Even people that weren't in the same industry, it was like they were still your competition. Yeah. Whereas now, like, I'm very happy to, my team's very happy to refer prospects to other coaching companies if we're not the best fit for them. You know, we don't give a shit, because we know that there's more than enough opportunity out there for everybody. And like we talked about on this, like, we want to help people that are aligned to our values and our culture. And if they're not, that's totally cool. Like, we don't need the money. We don't need to serve them. And we wouldn't serve them the best anyway if they're not a fit. So, like, I'm all about building communities and tribes. And I think that this day and age, as I've said on so many live streams, I think that entrepreneurs are the future of the world. And I think that the more that we can get around each other and support each other to grow, I think the more successful we'll all be, rather than trying to do it alone, you know. And I'm so sorry to hear about your friends as well. I know how devastating that is. And it's a shame too, because often, as you said, like a conversation could change and alter the future of people's lives as well. So yeah, please, if you're watching this, jump on, join the community. Another question for me before we look to wrap up, if you were to have a conversation with a 10-year-old version of you, knowing what you know, having been through what you've been through, what advice would you give him?
Just keep going. Keep going. It would be started earlier. You know, when I read this book, I think it was Robert Kiyosaki who said, learn in your 20s, apply in your 30s, and enjoy your 40s. And in my 20s, I started probably half of my 20s, I partied a lot. When I said partied, I mean drinking alcohol, nothing else. But, you know, nightclubs and this and that. If I had given myself those extra 5 years, the compounding effect of those 5 years earlier would actually have an impact of about 40 years in my lifetime.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
And so every year that goes by, it is such a gift. You have to utilize everything, that every minute, every moment that you have, because our time is so short on this planet.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to add the most value and live your purpose. Too many people I see, they're zombies, you know, and I met a friend and he goes, man, I've only got 20 more years until I can retire. I said, what are you going to do then? He goes, I'm going to travel the world. I said, I did that like for the last 6 months, but cool. You wait another 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Love that answer. And look, if you're watching this and you're running a business and you'd like to build a business that's profitable, purpose-driven, that works without you, one where you don't need to hold your staff accountable because you've created a phenomenal culture, one where the business can grow even if you are on vacation or away doing something else, click on the link below. I'll get my team to put it in there so you can stay up to date with the Freedom Series, with the amazing guests. We've had some phenomenal guests on so far. This interview is fantastic. We've got plenty more lined up in the lead up to the launch of my book, The Path to Freedom, on the 3rd of August. So click the link below, put your details in. We'll keep you up to date with the guests and also the pre-release launch of the book and the bonuses as well. Mate, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today. If you guys have as well watching, please hit the love and the like button. Let us know you've been watching as well. Thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Game Changers podcast. There's a couple of things I'd love you to do to help us and help yourself to spread the message further. Make sure that you like the Game Changers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn. Please subscribe by clicking the link below to ensure that you keep up to date with the weekly episodes we share here at the Game Changers podcast with amazing entrepreneurs and business owners around the world. And of course, like if you're in a position where you may be overwhelmed with business or looking for a way to grow faster, more effectively, and you realize that the key to success is being surrounded by amazing people who have been there and done that before, I'd like to invite you to apply to have a game plan session one-on-one with one of my team here at the Game Changers. There's no cost if you get through. All that we ask is that you are doing a minimum of $250,000 per year to really be able to utilize the strategies and tactics and the mindset shifts that we share with you, that you're coachable, that you're a decent person, and you're willing to take on board some advice. If not, that's totally cool. But I know for me, I wouldn't be where I'm right now without the support of so many mentors and coaches and resources along the way. And I'd like to pay that forward and give back to you the opportunity to work with us one-on-one for free to put together a customized game plan. And the reason we're doing this is a couple of things. Number one is that sometimes it's just the smallest thing that can make the biggest difference. And I think that entrepreneurs and business owners have the opportunity to change the world. And if we can maybe help you to make the smallest shift to change your life and your world, you're changing ours in return. The second thing is that we are always looking for amazing clients to work with and to welcome into and invite into the Game Changers community. And so if at the end of the call, you do feel that there's a huge amount of value there, that we feel that there's a great values fit there, we can have a conversation about working together. But this game plan call, there's absolutely no obligations to work with whatsoever. Allow us to help you with the years and years and years of knowledge that we have in growing and scaling great companies. And I think that business owners are the future of the world. If there's a way that we can help you to create a better business, more profit, more fulfillment, more fun, I would love the opportunity to do that now. So click the link below, book your game plan session, make sure you follow us on social and stay up to date with the latest episodes of the Game Changers podcast. My name's Barry William Magliditti. Thank you so much for your support and look forward to seeing you next one. Bye for now.